one in four Sheridan County residents is 65 years or older. More seniors, rising costs, less funding. On August 18th, vote yes to establish a countywide senior citizen service district. It will protect essential transportation, meals, and wellness programs, including outreach services offered through the Hub on Smith that help Sheridan County seniors continue living independently. The district could levy up to 2 mills on taxable property to support these programs, with no levy taking effect before July 2027. The amount would be set each year by a voter-elected board of trustees, and every 4 years, voters would decide whether to renew the district. A single levy would generate $623,000 for programs serving Sheridan County seniors. Lives supported, independence preserved. Learn more at SheridanCountySeniorDistrict.org. Paid for by Sheridan County for Seniors 2026 PAC.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stopped China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down, and neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, August 11th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we're joined by Sheridan City Planner Kelly Schroeder, from the Powder River Basin Resource Council, Claire Deuter, and Sheridan Area Resource Council member and walk audit team leader, Pam Sajak. Good morning, ladies, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Now, for those who may not know, what is a walk audit, and what are you hoping to learn by conducting one right here in Sheridan?
So a walk audit, as defined by AARP, who is the entity giving us a grant for a walk audit, it's an activity where participants can observe and evaluate the walkability of a location and then identify and document how pedestrians can safely navigate along the street or the intersection. And the goal of the walk audit is to document this information, develop a recommendation, and then bring that to your appropriate government entity, whether that's the city or Wyoming Department of Transportation.
So, Pam, this is the community coming together.
Claire,
I apologize. this is the community coming together to basically evaluate safety on our own streets.
Yeah. Yeah. The goal is to just work together with the city, with community members, so we can all come up with solutions to make our city more walkable, safer for all ages, all ability levels, and yeah, just make it a safer place to live.
Now, have locations been selected here in Sheridan kind of before the walk audit kicked? Kelly, this might be a question for you. Are there, as a city planner, are there locations even in the back of your mind where you're like, you know what, I wish I could?
Absolutely. And, you know, the city is simultaneously working on a Safe Streets for All program. Mm-hmm. We got a grant from the federal government to conduct some pedestrian and bikeability, I guess, studies. So we've hired a consultant to work with us on that. And we're really interested in downtown, and especially the areas where there's gaps leading to downtown. So we have a fantastic pathway system We have a great downtown, but a lot of times we see these gaps in, yeah. in how people get from the pathways to downtown or from downtown to the pathways. So, you know, I'm really interested in those areas where there's kind of some gaps. And I think Powder River Basin Resource Council and the Sheridan Area Resource Council have identified a few of those areas where they're going to be conducting their walk audits. So I'll kind of let them talk about those areas specifically, but excited to see that there's a mutual kind of understanding that those gap areas are where there's some opportunities.
Now let's talk about those gap areas just real quick, just to touch on that. My wife walks the dogs all the time, and we have a route. On that route, sidewalks disappear. And I don't walk in people's yards, so we go out into the street. So I know there's two, maybe three blocks on this route. My wife's in the middle of the street with the dogs. Are these situations like what we're talking about when we say these are gaps? And in pedestrian safety?
Absolutely. I think where sidewalks disappear or even areas where there might be a sidewalk or a crosswalk, but it's not really in a logical place. Yeah. You know, it's not in the place where people naturally want to cross or naturally, you know, feel that their path should go, especially at busy intersections or busy streets. You know, we've got a variety of different ages and abilities in our community. We have a lot of tourists in the summer. And so, you know, looking at these areas from a different lens of somebody on their feet or on a bike really changes how you experience the street versus if you're in a car.
And that's really interesting. A lot of people don't think about that, I think. As a city planner, of course, is exactly what you think about. I can remember one note. It's got a saying to it. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. But a city planner or a planner will put a sidewalk in an area. And then after a month or 2 months, they'll notice a path mm-hmm. being formed where people don't want to take the sharp corner. They make their own right through this little section. And in situations like that, as a city planner, how do you adjust for that? And does that kind of play into the mindset that you have to be into when you're going on this walk audit? You're like, okay, I see a problem that needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. Yeah. I that definitely plays a role. I think that might be called a cow path. I could be wrong, but you know, cause cows always take the path of least resistance. But, I think that definitely plays into the role of planning and engineering because, you know, we always have all this data and we think, like, oh, of course, everybody is going to walk in a straight line and make a right turn. But it might end up being that the community or more people are actually taking this shortcut. And there's a lot of value in that. And like I said, experiencing the street as a pedestrian rather than, you know, as a car or as a, you know, an engineer putting together perfect, mm-hmm. perfect shapes and perfect angles.
I said, look at these right angles. They're beautiful. And the community says, nah, yeah. I see a shorter path. Now, when will the walk itself take place?
So we have a few locations picked out. First, we have 5th and Main, a super busy intersection in town. That's going to be on Wednesday, September 9th. And we're doing three different rounds of audits that day. So we can do before school, lunchtime, and after school. So that's 7:30 in the morning to 8:30, 11:30 to 12:30, and then 3:30 to 4:30. So that's kind of our biggest audit that we'll do. And then we also are doing an area near Kendrick Park. It's the crosswalk that goes across Laux. It's on Badger Street. And that's something that we'll do on Thursday, September 17th, this one just before and after school. So 7:30 to 8:30, 3:30 to 4:30. And then a third location is going to be near Ridley's. We need to figure out the date for that. But that'll be sometime in the latter half of September.
Okay. Now, Claire, how can somebody participate? How can somebody get on board if they're out there listening and they're like, you know what? This has been needed. I want to be a part of this. How do they jump on?
Yeah. So this is really something that anybody can volunteer to be a part of. Powder River Basin Resource Council, we're a nonprofit with an office on North Main, and you can simply just give us a call or email us info@powderriverbasin.org would be the contact email, and just simply say, hey, I'm interested in doing this, and we'll loop you in and get you introduced to folks, and the more the merrier.
Yeah. And you can take part in all of these.
Yeah. Yeah. And if
you have the time.
If you have the time, or if you can only do one, that's totally fine too. It's really whatever is in your schedule availability.
Now, will there be any kind of training or a briefing prior explaining to me, Joe Snuffy, hey, Joe, look for this. We're trying to see maybe ADA, maybe safety issues. If you spot it, circle it on your map. Will there be some sort of briefing prior?
Yeah, so Powder River staff will meet with member leaders like Pam and some other folks that we have, and we'll just sit down at the office and go through this handy dandy walk audit toolkit that AARP provided us. And
why reinvent the wheel?
And they have worksheets in there that have charts, and you can mark down, okay, how many times did somebody try to cross the crosswalk, but they ran out of time? Or how many times did somebody have issues with this curb? Or how many times did a car have a close call hitting a pedestrian? There's all sorts of different data points that you can fill out, and we'll have all the resources to do that. We also have t-shirts, so you'll be visible and nice and safe, and we'll have snacks and drinks. So you don't have to do too much. You don't have to be an expert. We'll get you all set up.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, one citizen can make a big difference. Just a quick side story. I had a boss at a newspaper I once worked at, picked up a brick off the street because it had been loose for over a year. Took it into City Hall, put it on their desk, and said, when are we going to do something about it? There's now a retaining wall where that brick used to be. Things can happen if you bring it to the city's attention and say, this is important, right, Kelly?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's quite a process everyone's got to go through.
Sure. And one thing, or what I'm really excited about this walk audit is it's happening at a time when I think pedestrian safety is really at the top of mind for a lot of folks in our community. I'm sure a lot of folks know that we had a couple of really tragic deaths last summer.
Yeah.
And that really brought it to the forefront of the city's attention and to groups like the Shared Narrative Resource Council and Powder River Basin, that this is important. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at the same time that we were applying for this Safe Streets for All grant, Powder River had received this AARP walk audit grant. And then we also have Kate Gladden in our community who has done a lot of great work getting the word out about her Lives Eyes Up, Lives Ahead campaign. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that really says that there is a strong community desire to make this happen. It's not just the city saying, oh, we're going for this grant because we can, but there really is community desire, community need. And to see everybody working together and supporting each other in this, I think is really powerful. Oh, and I'm excited to see what comes out of it.
It's fantastic to have the community and the city kind of working on the same thing, and there's no pitchforks and torches involved at all. you know, which sometimes it goes the other way, but this is a fantastic community effort. And I think the more people that get involved, the better. Is there like a max number? Or can we do an audit walk with 150 people? Now, I might be pie in the sky here, but can we have a very large... What if a lot of people show up?
I think if a lot of people show up, it'd be worth looking at expanding the locations, too. I mean, there are so many spots that we brainstormed.
Yeah.
And we just kind of whittled down for the sake of being able to, you know, not bite off more than we can chew. But if we had a ton of people, we could make it work. I mean, it's a very accessible project. You show up, you have a clipboard, and you observe.
Yeah.
And take photos. Yeah.
Yeah, take photos. Yeah, that's a great idea. Everyone's got a camera in their pocket nowadays, don't they, Pam? All right. Yeah. I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to keep talking with the what I've decided to call the Sheridan Walk Audit Team in just a moment. Stick with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Running a business is hard enough.
And getting paid shouldn't be.
I like where you're going.
AutoBooks from First Federal Bank and Trust makes accepting payments simple. Send a payment link, create a checkout page, or let customers scan a QR code.
And the money?
Deposited directly into your First Federal account. Safe, secure, and supported by our local cash management team.
Learn more at eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
I'm Laurie Bratton, representative for House District 51. Are you tired of more government programs, more spending, more special interests? Somebody pays for all of that, and that somebody is you. Taxpayers deserve prioritizing essential services, fiscal responsibility, and representation that never forgets that you are the ones who pay for it. On August 18th, I'm asking for your vote. For more, go to laurieforwyoming.com. That's LaurieForWyoming.com.
Paid for by the committee to elect Laurie Bratton.
When someone you love starts needing help, everything changes. Suddenly, you're worrying about rides to appointments, meals, chores, and making sure they're okay when you're not there. That's what Synergy Home Care is all about. Real support, real connection, real dignity. From senior in-home care, companionship to memory care, and hospital to home support, and specialized home care, it's care that works around your family. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com or call 674-HOME. That's 674-H-O-M-E. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
Don't you hate it when politicians try to mislead us? That's Marilyn Connolly. She's rated a D- in support of our Republican values. Not Mark Jones. Mark Jones is a 100% friend and fighter for our Republican values that have made Wyoming great. He's tough on criminals, will cut wasteful spending, and stands strong for our conservative family values. Mark Jones will get the job done in Cheyenne because he's one of us. On August 18th, please vote Mark Jones for House District 40. This message was paid for and authorized by the Friends to Elect Mark Jones.
Celebrate 20 years of connecting people to land and history at the SCLT Backyard Barbecue, presented by Eliason Financial and First Federal Bank and Trust. Join us August 26th from 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the Big Goose Natural Area for live music with Tris Munsick and Trout Goggles, great food, cornhole, our Double Your Impact raffle, and more. Bring your lawn chairs, blankets, and your pups because pets are welcome too. Admission is free. Help us plan. Sign up at SheridanCLT.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. And this morning we're speaking with Sheridan City Planner, Kelly Schroeder, from the Powder River Basin Resource Council, the counter, Claire Deuter, and Sheridan Area Resource Council member and Walk Audit Team Leader, Pam Sajak. Now, Sheridan residents will soon have an opportunity to take a closer look at how safe and accessible the community streets are for pedestrians. The upcoming walk audit will put volunteers on the ground to identify concerns and provide information that could help guide future safety improvements throughout the entire city. During the break, Pam brought up a great point. Many times we look at this from the pedestrian's point of view. That's who we're trying to protect. At the same time, drivers out there, we've had our close calls as well. So if you're driving around and you feel that this area that I'm at could do with some safety improvement, who would they get a hold of if someone's just doing that? They're not part of the walk, but they want to make an impact. They see an issue. They want to bring it forward. Kelly, do they just call the city?
Yeah, that's absolutely one thing that somebody can do. Our city engineering department takes those concerns seriously. And if there is reason to make some improvements, we'll look at making those improvements. I suppose this is a good time to plug our Safe Streets for All project that we just kicked off. This is separate, but definitely related to this AARP walk audit grant. We are working with a consultant to broadly identify many different safety challenges for all types of modes of transportation throughout the city. So this is a great time to let us know about anything that is concerning, whether you're a pedestrian, a bicyclist, a driver, because we're collecting all that information right now. And we have several events coming up where people can talk to us, talk to our consultant, and let us know where those places are that improvements are needed.
Pam, you also brought up the fact, you know, hey, if you're going to see these issues, you're going to note down where these issues are, but also take a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were hoping to have photography for all of these spots at those times. And I was going to say one more little entity that I call a pedestrian are the kids and some adults on scooters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of a new variable for us. So
a growing fad. Yeah.
Yeah. So something that we have to pay attention to because they come out of nowhere.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we were skateboarding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were the fad.
Yeah. This is equivalent to you kids. Yes. Yeah. Definitely.
And you know, that goes both ways. When you're on a scooter, an electric bike, any of those things, you have to be mindful of your own safety as well. You've got to be courteous to drivers, and that goes, the door swings both ways on this. Now, how does the walk audit fit into a larger conversation? Kelly, you brought up the fact that, you know, hey, the city was thinking about this too. It's great to see the community get involved. This is a large conversation about pedestrian and traffic safety within our city.
Yes, and I'll take it even bigger than that. I think this comes down to, you know, we're a growing community. There's a lot of land use changes that are happening, you know, more subdivisions, different commercial and even light industrial development that's happening. And at the planning level, you know, we're looking at these things from a 30,000 feet high.
Yeah.
But we also have to think about, you know, how are we designing roads? How are we designing our infrastructure? Not just for these land uses, but also for the people that will be, you know, experiencing this and using these areas. So when we're talking about, you know, new business parks coming in or new subdivisions, are the sidewalks going to be wide enough? Are there going to be appropriate traffic signals or stop signs if that's warranted? So that it comes from a larger kind of planning.
Yeah.
Perspective, but you know, seeing it on the ground every day is where it starts.
And I think it's fantastic because we conduct this walk audit, which is fairly large. We identify problems. Now Kelly and her team are sitting down at the table and she's going, hey, let's keep this in mind. Look, here's a picture. We don't want this to happen again, or we want to prevent that. Mm-hmm. So let's design something around it. I mean, this is going to help you along the way.
Yes.
As these new developments and things come in. Now, are there safety issues that can be easily overlooked? This is something I thought about when I was sitting with it this morning. If I was on this walk audit, I want to know what I'm looking for. Are there ones that even I could miss because maybe I'm not thinking about, you know, my kid's grown. So am I thinking about the little ones that aren't paying attention to traffic? They're just being little ones. Things like that.
Yeah, there's lots of things that you realize are part of the planning process for making a street safe that you might have overlooked. I mean, at least for me, it's really a good way to broaden your perspective by doing a walk audit because you think, oh, I'm thinking about all these other experiences, not just my own.
Yeah.
So for example, with the curbs, could someone on a wheelchair or somebody pushing a stroller, could they safely get up and over this curb? You know, if somebody is hard of hearing, could they hear someone coming from around a corner? I mean, there's lots of different perspectives that you have to think about when doing a walk audit.
Well, we spoke about hoping to get someone handicapped involved with a walker or someone that's in a wheelchair.
I'm going to give you that card. Notify her. She wants to be involved.
Oh, wonderful.
So moving on. Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. You know, the portion of the community that lives with disabilities. I would love to see everybody head on out there and be like, look, this is what I deal with every day. Mm-hmm. I can't see very well. I need to know where the curb's at before my foot is off of it, mm-hmm. or things like that. A lot of people don't realize that stuff. Now, Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong. The kind of bubbled sidewalk, that is for individuals who are a little more sight impaired, so they can feel where the end of that block is, correct?
Correct. And so, like in our downtown, when you see the sidewalk change from concrete color to a red, that red kind of terracotta color indicates that there's a change in grade, right? So either it's
going
up or going down. So, you know, it helps people that may be visually impaired, or even, you know, just people that are walking along and might, like me, be a little clumsy and miss a step. So you know,
I think we've all done it. Yeah. We do the quick look around to make sure nobody saw us.
Exactly. So that red coloring in the sidewalk that you see a lot usually indicates that there's a change in grade in the sidewalk.
Now, will these be part of the walk on it? If I start feeling, hey, you know, the grade changed and I'm not seeing a color, is that something that I want to include in my walk on it checklist, or is that something that we're not really looking for that kind of safety issue?
That's something that would be included. It's really, the more information we can gather, the better.
So almost anything and everything that we can think of. Yeah. Now, once all the information is compiled, once we get it all, we hold these walk audits, we've got checklists for days. Where does it go and what happens?
So the goal is to develop a recommendation and then present it as a community to the city or the state, whoever's making the decisions about that road or that intersection in particular. And so that would be the goal, to say, hey, city council, we got all this information. This is what we've observed. These are the things that are going well, but this is something that could really be improved. We really recommend that you take actions X, Y, and Z to improve the safety for the community.
It's literally the city itself saying, we need improvement on this, and we're coming together asking for this.
Yeah, yeah. It's very community member driven and led, and the city's been really great in sitting down with us and hearing us out. And, you know, they want safe streets just as much as anyone else, and it's just a matter of collaborating and mm-hmm. sharing resources.
Now, Kelly, I keep kind of coming back to you because you're the one on the inside. You're the inside guy on this one. Now, when we look at the results of the audit walk, and we take that to the city, funding's always going to be an issue. Funding is always going to be argued over. But if the city itself brings these issues forward, you know, our public works department is made up of fantastic people. They're going to look down and go, yeah, we've noticed that. We want to fix it too. What gets the gears going?
Sure. So I think funding is a great place to start. We have a limited budget every year, and we have to figure out where that money's going to go. We have our fifth penny, our optional 1 cent, that goes towards a lot of public improvements like pathways and sidewalks and street improvements. So that's something that we will always, you know, look at as a source of funding for some of these things that are brought forward. We also have our capital facilities tax, which is that sixth penny. And those are typically bigger capital improvement projects. But, you know, if there's ever an opportunity, say, to redo a bridge and include some pedestrian safety measures on that, this kind of data that we get from a walk audit helps us with that. Also, it's really great to have the data from a walk audit documented, because when we have those things documented in the form of a recommendation or a safety action plan, which is what we're going to get out of our Safe Streets for All grant, that allows us to take the next step forward in applying for some bigger grants from the federal government or from YDOT. We have to have all of that documented first, that there is a need, there is a community desire for something before we go and ask for money for it.
Yeah. Okay, so this walk audit is step number one to making that big difference. And the more people who are involved, the more ammunition you got going forward trying to get these grants done. So the work itself can actually be accomplished. Ladies, I've run out of time with you. If someone out there is listening and they're like, you know what, I really want to know more, I want to get my name on this list, what do I need to do?
Give us a call, Powder River Basin Resource Council. We're at 307-672-5809, or you can email us at info@powderriverbasin.org.
This is a fantastic movement. I think the more people involved, the better. I don't think there's a limit on any of this. As Claire said, you know, as going forward, the more people show up, maybe they can cover more ground. And you are the only one who can make that happen, folks. Thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us this morning. I greatly appreciate it. It's great to see you, Kelly. I imagine I'll see you again very soon. I'm hoping get Stu to send you in here on one of those shows.
Stu, if you're listening.
I'd love to get to know just exactly a city planner's job,
how we
accomplish all these fantastic things. So thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the organizers of Story Days. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Riley, collecting donations for nonprofits shouldn't be complicated. Can you help us out there?
Yes, we can. That's why nonprofits love AutoBooks from First Federal Bank and Trust.
How easy is it?
Share a payment link, display a QR code, or create a checkout page. Donors can give in seconds, and the funds go directly into your First Federal account.
Simple for the organization, simple for the donor.
Learn more at efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
I'm Glenn Drummond, running for Sheridan County Commissioner. Sheridan County is strongest when we stand together. Neighbors helping neighbors, families supporting one another, and a community committed to leaving no one behind. That shared commitment is what makes Sheridan County special. I will face challenges head on, listen to community members, and work with local businesses to solve problems. Let's work together to keep Sheridan County strong for the future. Vote Glenn Drummond for Sheridan County Commissioner, paid for by Glenn Drummond.
Hi. I'm Sheridan County Commissioner Christy Haswell. I'm proud of my yes vote approving the planning and zoning permit for the Bighorn Recreation and Early Learning Center. Bighorn has worked hard to raise private funds to create a facility that serves residents of all ages today and helps them be family ready for the future. We need more proactive yes votes that support infrastructure and economic development. Please vote to re-elect Christy Haswell on August 18th. Thank you. Paid for by Friends of Christy Haswell.
VacuTech in Sheridan is now hiring for a wide variety of production positions, including welders and powder coater technicians, and opportunities are available from entry-level to highly skilled positions. Whether you're looking to build a new career or to take the next step in your current one, VacuTech offers competitive pay, corporate benefits, and opportunities for advancement. Apply today through the National Car Wash Solutions career page.
Hi, this is Jill Bates and Penny Reddy with Best Real Estate. Close your eyes for a moment and picture your perfect summer filled with family, friends, and activities.
Now imagine that gathering place is your new home. Let the Bates team at Best Real Estate in Sheridan help you find your forever home, an investment property, or get your current home on the market.
Best Real Estate has experience, knowledge, and professionalism to make the entire process smoother, easier, and more enjoyable for you.
Call us today at 675-BEST or go online at bestwy.net and make this summer the best.
It's the Captain here with Captain Clean. Professional carpet cleaning is our expertise. All of us clean our bed sheets and dirty clothes routinely, but why not our carpets? It's gross. Even if you take your shoes off, your carpets are always getting dirty. Just call the Captain for your 100% free estimate or to schedule your next carpet cleaning. Captain Clean, 672-0726. Affordable options for healthy living.
We're Captain Clean.
Long days at the dog park, walks in the mountains, sunny naps in the backyard. It's the dog days of summer, and your best friend is soaking it all in. Enter a photo of your dog living their best summer life on our Dog Days of Summer Photo Contest, online now at SheridanMedia.com. Presented by Mandy Koltiska with Century 21 BHJ Realty. The winner by most votes will get $500 in chamber bucks. Enter on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com.
Mead Lumber and Camco Federal Credit Union understand you may be hauling in more algae than fish right now. So if you fish your bass off this weekend or years ago, your favorite catch still counts. Share your favorite photos with us because your biggest fish story surely has a photo. You can even upload a new photo daily for a chance to reel in $600 in prizes. Enter through Labor Day on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. Fish your bass off, presented by Mead Lumber and Camco Federal Credit Union.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and for our second part this morning, we are joined by Story Days president, Megan Decker, and longtime resident of Story, Sally Johnson. Good morning, ladies, and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Now, this is Story Days. Now, how has this grown as a tradition, Sally? Because were you there for the first one? Did you see it kick off?
Actually, I was not there for the first one, but I have been there for almost every other one, and it has grown tremendously with our vendors and our parade and our wonderful Story Fireman's breakfast in the morning. So it has evolved greatly since the get-go.
So those first couple, were they just basically Story wanting to get together and do something fun?
Exactly. Yes.
This is really a big community movement, isn't it?
It is. Very big. Yeah. Yes. And we've got a huge community involvement, too. So it's great. It's wonderful.
And as Story has grown, have you seen a lot of the people who moved up there on the mountain kind of really dive into Story Days and get involved?
I believe so, because as an old-time resident, there's a lot of young people moving into Story, which is great, and we love it.
That's true.
And Megan and her family, and a lot of younger people. So it has grown in that respect, and that is great because they are kind of taking the reins and going for it.
Oh, that's got to kind of be nice, though.
It's got to be really nice, yes.
Watching this tradition, you know it's in good hands.
Yes.
You know going forward it's only going to get better, right?
Yeah, Story's magical. You know, you get there and you're just like, this little mountain town that we have here, it's one of the very few that's left that has as little people as it does.
Yeah.
But it still has so much energy. And you get there and you're just like, man, this place is... we got to keep this going, whatever this is. So, yeah, you get involved. You want to be involved in a place like Story.
When did you move up there, Megan?
I moved up there. I think I'm going on 3 years at this point, and it's going to take a big hit to get me out.
You're dug in now.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm in like Flynn.
That's fantastic.
Yep. And you'll never get me out.
No. Yeah. Now, when it comes to what folks can expect when they show up to Story Days, and we'll talk about when exactly it's going to kick off, what am I going to see Friday afternoon?
So Friday afternoon, there's a lot of different things that are happening other than just Story Days committees things. This is just the entire town of Story that's getting together and having things happen. So you can expect raffle ticket sales at the Story store. You can look at about 4 p.m. until it's gone. They've got hamburgers and hot dogs at the Story store. 4 p.m. until gone, the Women's Club has pie and ice cream at the Women's Club, which, I mean, the Women's Club really kills it with
the pie and ice cream.
Their sour cream, that sour cream and raisin pie that they make is absolutely incredible. And then we also have a silent auction at the Story Art Station from 4 to 7. And then something new that we have incorporated, we have a sheepdog demonstration at 5 p.m. by Wendy Alski. She's a world champion sheepdog trainer, and I think it's going to be right across from the Story store, and it is going to be really, really cool.
You know, I'll tell folks, if you've never seen a sheepdog operate, a well-trained sheepdog, it's amazing.
It's a different ball game. Yeah, my dog has nothing on these dogs. That's for sure.
And then I get home and look at my Frenchie. Yeah,
that's
something.
What you do. Love it. Love it. And then, of course, from 8 to 11, we have live music by the Nate Champion Band. And there will be some food at that time also. But that'll end the day with the Nate Champion Band. And if you haven't seen them, they're fabulous.
Now, tell me about the art station and the raffles that are going on there. The silent auction is happening.
The silent auction, yes. And so we've got, we did want to kind of touch on some of the items that we've gotten this year are really, really cool. I will definitely say I am the executive chef and owner of NOLA Catering. So I'll be offering a private dinner at someone's home. So basically private chef experience will be up for grabs. There will be a mini motorcycle, and I wish I knew what the brand and how fast it was, but it's just this cool little kid's bike. It's in either pink or blue. I know that they were going to choose color later, but they're offering that. And then we've also got, someone has actually turned an old Coke vending machine into a gun safe. And so it's a really neat thing to have. Like, it looks like a totally old Coke machine, but it's got quick access with a little fob that you can open it quickly for smaller handguns and then for bigger ones. I mean, there's just some really cool story made things inside of it.
God, I love you people up in
Isn't
story.
Isn't it great?
I love you folks up in story,
it's
man.
Cool, huh? Yeah,
she mentioned story people and how very talented they are. We've got a knife maker up there. We've got a lady that makes a beautiful, beautiful mirror that's got the wood around it. And I just got yesterday. It's amazing. The products that come out of story.
The artisans.
Yes, the artisans.
The craftsmen.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's kind of a well-hidden secret, except to those who've gone up there for these types of events, to see
absolutely
the quality of stuff that's
yes
actually made in story.
Absolutely.
It's not something that you see a whole lot, but the fact of the matter is you get these really cool little oddity type
totally
things,
100%, you know? And they're always, you know, the things that say Story Wyoming. You know, they've got the guy that made the gun cabinet, he also made this rocket stove, and it's just this beautiful piece of metalwork, and it's got Story Wyoming just blasted on it. And you know, people love that. They
yeah
want something that has story. I mean, the story store, they're always getting new t-shirts and new sweatshirts, and man, they can't stay in stock.
That's fantastic.
They can't. It's wonderful.
Well, it's like you said, folks from out of town find
yep
this quiet little mountain
they
town.
Do.
They fall in love.
Totally.
And they want to take a little piece home with
100%.
Them. 100%. Now, tell me about the fireman's breakfast, kicking everything off on Saturday.
Saturday morning, we have our wonderful fireman's breakfast. We will have pancakes and sausage and eggs and orange juice and coffee and all the good things that go with a fireman's breakfast. And it's just their big fundraiser for our little volunteer fire department, who are all awesome. They take care of us, and they've been paged out a lot this last couple of
yeah
weeks because of the dryness and because of the fires that are going around, going around. So yeah, it's a great start to our Saturday morning at Story Days.
And it's your daughter and her husband are volunteering.
Now my daughter is the fire chief.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yes.
Look at that.
Yeah,
that's
so
pretty cool.
Shout out to her.
Yeah,
yes,
that's fantastic.
Yes.
It was actually the fire department that took me up to Story to report on a story that I was working on when I was at the newspaper. And that was the first time I ever went into Story.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go in there and sit with the fire department while they were getting a very specific training. And that was a fantastic
day.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It was really,
yep,
really neat.
They're
to
good
see all those volunteers come in, you know, kind of old school.
Old school,
yeah.
Yes.
People from the community joining together.
Yes, yes, yes. I think they have at this point 33 volunteers.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah,
that's good size
huge
fire
yes
department,
that's
too.
Huge.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about what's been called the best small town parade. Story Days Parade. What's going to be involved in that?
Well, we've got tons. I mean, I can't even think of how many we have at this point, but we have so many different people, and not just Story. So many businesses from Sheridan coming in and being involved in it.
Oh, that's great.
I know that myself with NOLA Catering, we are partnering with Uprising, which is a nonprofit here. We're going to be promoting.
Love them.
Yep. We're going to be promoting a gala that we're doing in January. It's a very Mardi Gras forward gala. And then we've got BHJ with their big float coming up. And, you know, we've got the Girl Scout troop. We have the Garden Club. The Garden Club always does something. I mean, we've got a ton of people. Marching band. I mean, there's just going to be, it's going to be a long line. It's going to be a fun one. So I would definitely suggest getting your chairs and getting a seat earlier in the day because it does start at 10 o'clock. So I would say that the streets are going to be lined up pretty quick in the morning time.
Yeah, and the Cars Club will be out there with all of our vintage cars. Oh. Yes, and they park it in front of the door. And so they're, you know, able to walk around and look at the cars when the parade is over. So that's a huge asset to the story days.
Sounds like it's going to be a big parade in a little town. I love hearing that. And, of course, you know, the cars being out there, folks, rare opportunity nowadays to go out and actually see some really beautiful vintage cars. Let's talk about those big clubs up in Story. The people who really make a lot happen, Story Lions Club and the Story Women's Club. I hear about the Story Women's Club all the time, involved in just about excuse me, everything happening up in town. What role do they really, do those two clubs take throughout the year?
Well, I would say the Women's Club, they've been keeping that space up every single year for many, many years.
I mean, since 1919.
Yep. The reason we have that space to be able to utilize, and they're so open with it, you know, for Story Days, they're actually going to open it and allow people to get food from other vendors and come in and sit down and eat if they want to, which is really great. But just keeping up that building and all of the things that they do. I mean, they have lunches and things that are, you know, free. They'll do a spaghetti lunch every now and then that's free, and just taking care of their community. I mean, there's really nothing that they don't do.
Yeah.
You know, so we're just really lucky to have them, and we have a great relationship with them, and, you know, we all work together towards the same goal of just getting people out and having fun, and we're very grateful for them.
Now, you got a horseshoe tournament, duck races, frisbee golf.
Yes.
All this is happening during Story Days. Is that all Saturday, or is that divided up?
Yep, that's going to be, so the duck race is on, let's see, the duck race is on Saturday at 1 p.m., and that'll take place at the Wagon Box. And then they also have, let's see, we've got the horseshoe tournament, which is happening at Crilly's Horseshoe Pit. That's going to start at noon. And then we've got, what was that last thing that we mentioned?
Frisbee golf tournament.
Frisbee golf, that's going to be Sunday. Correct, Miss Sally?
Sunday afternoon, yes.
That's right. Starting and that'll be right at the Story Park.
Yes.
And it's a really cool little course.
And I'll tell you what, you know, when I was in college, that was all the rage.
Totally.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I realized that was, I'm not going to say how many decades ago, but decades ago. But frisbee golf was all the rage. And so I know there's a lot of individuals out there my age.
You know
age.
What's unfortunate is that I'm a very athletic person. And unfortunately, there are two sports that I am not good at.
Horseshoe and frisbee golf?
Nope, just frisbee and golf. And when you put those two together, it gets really ugly. And it's unfortunate, but I'll definitely be there to support everyone that wants to come
out. Gotta give it a shot, right?
Give it a shot. I'll throw one.
There you go. And if it lands in the basket,
we'll see. Exactly.
You have to land two.
Exactly.
All right, so a lot of activities happening. Let's touch on that silent auction one more time. That will be going on throughout the entire weekend, right? So when will the conclusion to the silent auction happen so folks can pay attention? 2 o'clock.
So 2 p.m. on Saturday is the conclusion of the Story Days silent auction at the Art Station. So you've got 4 to 7 on Friday, and then you've got 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. on Saturday is when the silent auction will be going on.
All right, Megan, I got about a minute left. Is there anything about Story Days that I haven't hit on?
Yes, we would love to talk about the kids' activities that we have going on. We've got a bounce house that's going to be available all day, of course, free of charge. And we've also got something new that we've incorporated this year is we've got a face painter, a crazy woman face painter that you do not have to pay for. We are paying for her time. She's going to be there for 4 hours so kids can come and bounce in the bounce house and get their face painted for free, listen to music with their parents. And I know that the church is also going to be doing some stuff. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but there's things happening for children all weekend long. So
fantastic.
We encourage the entire family to come.
Yeah. If you're looking to wear out the little ones.
Definitely. Oh, we've got you.
Yeah.
We've got you.
Got you covered.
We've got you.
Paint a tiger on their face and let them run to the bounce house.
She's really good
fun.
Too. Like it's, it, you know.
She's amazing.
I joke because I think she, I do believe she owns an art store in
gallery
in
over
yeah,
in Buffalo.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So okay. I joke that she's going to be putting Mona Lisas on their face and stuff.
I'll tell you what, I've seen her stuff. She could do it.
She's good. She's real good.
She's an amazing painter.
Happy to have her.
So's her husband.
Wow.
Her husband is also a fantastic artist. Yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool.
And the whole family's gifted.
Very cool.
Very
love
gifted
it.
People.
Lucky
love
to have
the
them.
Fact that she's going to be up there. Folks, yeah. Take the whole family. Story days. Give me the dates one more time.
Friday, August 28th to
Saturday, August 29th to Worship in the Park and Frisbee Golf on Sunday on August 30th.
Yep.
So it's a whole weekend of fun for the family.
Thank you, ladies, for taking the time out of your schedules to come and speak with me today.
Thank you.
It's been
thank
an
you,
absolute pleasure.
We enjoy it.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Riley, picture this. I'm selling coffee at a community event.
Okay, Bob. I can't picture that, but go ahead.
Okay, play along, Riley. A customer says, do you take cards?
With Tap to Local from First Federal Bank and Trust, absolutely. Just use your smartphone to accept contactless payments.
No card reader?
Nope. No extra hardware, just your phone and the First Federal app.
That's one smart cup of coffee, Riley. Maybe you'll see me selling coffee.
I can't wait. Learn more at efirstfederal.bank. Member FDIC.
This is Terry Weitzel, and I'm running for re-election to the Sheridan City Council. I brought conscientious, responsible leadership to the city of Sheridan, and I want to continue moving our beautiful community forward. I'm proud of what the Sheridan City Council has accomplished over the past 3.5 years. I'm asking for your vote, Terry Weitzel for Sheridan City Council.
Paid for by Weitzel for City Council Committee. By August, your vehicle has survived road trips, construction zone, dust, heat, and bugs big enough to have license plates. It's rattling, belching smoke, and swears it's never touching high-octane fuel again. Your car has the summer hangover, but Napa Auto Parts in Sheridan can help. Stop in for filters, fluids, batteries, wipers, and the right tools to get it done. Napa, helping your car recover from summer before it starts looking for a new home. Locally owned Napa Auto Parts on Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
Many people assume the biggest risk for a nonprofit is financial mismanagement, and some of the most common directors and officers' claims actually involve employment issues. Wrongful termination, discrimination, harassment, or retaliation can all lead to lawsuits that name not only the organization, but individual board members as well. Visit Jessica Weaver, Certified Insurance Counselor in Sheridan, to make sure your nonprofit has both employment practices liability and directors and officers' coverage. Iron Valley Insurance Group, forged in strength, guided by compassion. Request a quote at ironvalleyins.com.
Wyoming's primary election is where many of our most important races are decided, sometimes by only a handful of votes. I'm Micah Sturdivant, and I'm asking for your vote for House District 29. Early voting is open now at the Sheridan County Courthouse, or you can vote at your polling place on August 18th. Choose local control, responsible leadership, and people over political platforms. Vote Micah Sturdivant for a strong Sheridan and a strong Wyoming.
Paid for by Micah for Sheridan.
Hi, this is Nathan Mullinex, owner of Sheridan Motors, and I'd like to say thanks for all the support you've shown us at Sheridan Motors over the years. And I always want to remind you, there's no need to travel out of town to buy a vehicle. We have everything you need, new, used, certified used, and a spectacular service department. We're working hard for you, so come see us at Sheridan Motors. Now remember, Sheridan Motors is still offering 12% discount on all half-ton Ram and GMC pickups. So come down and see us at Sheridan Motors.